Welcome everyone into the B Section Podcast, brought to you by the Morning Times and the Daily Review. I'm Kirk Loveson, joined alongside David Goff and Logan Hill. We are down to the final week or so of postseason sports. Hopefully we got a couple teams left. We got Wyalusing still going on the Pennsylvania side of things. Hopefully they keep advancing for us. And New York State track is about to wrap up. We're going to get into all that on this episode. And we'll touch on some finals in the NBA and the NHL and get everyone out of here quickly today. Let's start with baseball. Over there in the Daily Review area, Wyalusing still going. Pull off another win.
Hopefully, at the time you're listening to this, they won on Monday. They play again on Thursday. You're listening to this Friday morning. So they won their first round state game on Monday. They had a home game because they won the district final over South Williamsport. What was that? I think two Saturdays ago now at this point. They played West Branch in the first round coming out of District 6, and they beat them 7-2, and they really just put the game away early. West Branch tried to steal home in the top of the first. Isaac Schaefer makes the tag with plenty of time from behind the plate, and then Wyalusing responded with four runs in the bottom half to take a 4-0 lead. I got it pulled up right here. West Branch didn't score until the third inning, and when they did, it was just one run. And then Wyalusing would follow that up with two runs in the fifth and another in the sixth to just kind of keep stretching it out. So West Branch was able to get the bases loaded in that last inning, but they were only able to bring one run in to score, and Wyalusing wins it on their home field. It was a packed environment. I was talking to Coach Nick Vanderpool afterwards, and he said they said that they sold like 500 tickets, and each side of the baselines was crammed with fans on both sides. People sitting up on the hill, people That's sitting awesome. On the bleachers, kids everywhere, photographers everywhere. There was a lot going on. They did the national anthem. I don't know what it would be called, but they had men with flags and the rifles there.
Really?
Not infantry. Color guard. That's what I was thinking, maybe. They were there. So it was a real... They made a real spectacle out of it, but something that deserved to have a spectacle made out of it. So they won a state game. I think it was the first time... I want to say they were saying it was... I couldn't find it anywhere to verify it, but they were saying first time since the 90s, first home state win on their field. That's on great. That field ever. On yeah. Gene
I'm glad they made field. It a big deal, too.
So it was a really cool environment. Hunter House, who's kind of been the pitcher for Wyalusing this postseason run, went six innings. He had, I believe he had... That's the wrong team. He had 8 strikeouts to 6 hits, only one earned run. Really just... He's a lefty, kind of just... Was getting the strikeouts when he needed them to. I think he had, between the second and third inning, had like 6 strikeouts. So all the outs came from strikeouts. The defense played well behind him. Kenny Mapes blasted a solo home run. They were able to get everything where they needed. And West Branch had a couple of errors there in the bottom of the first that kind of helped Wyalusing to score some more. But hey, it's the postseason. You take it when you can get it.
Absolutely.
So they move on. They're going to play Thursday night. So when you're listening to this, the result is out. Check the Daily Review for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, great plug. It. Love it.
Not even on purpose, but great there's just plug. No way to tell you right now when we're recording on Wednesday. They're going to play Calvary Christian down...
District 1, right?
Yep, District 1. So it's at a neutral site. It's about 2.5 hours away from the Bradford County area. I had it pulled up here exactly what school it was at. It is Walter Stump Stadium at Pine Grove.
Okay.
It's not directly at the Pine Grove school, but it's in that general area. So, like I said, it's about a 2.5 hour trip. I'd imagine it's about the same for the other school coming out of District 1. And they won their game 15-0 in 4 innings to advance to this game, while losing one at 7-2. So
tough test.
It's going to be a tough test, but the Rams kind of have that battle-tested yeah. to them, and we were talking about it before we started recording, and we've talked about it at points this year. Obviously, they graduate Blake Morningstar. He goes on to Wake Forest. That's a big deal. He was a star player.
Sure.
But they brought almost everybody else back, and they have, I think, a 6 or 7-man senior class, so it's kind of just paying dividends. Like, you take your lumps as you come up, and then they're just here, and they won a state game, and they have a chance to go win another one.
Experience so. Clearly goes a long way. Let's hope they can continue the run. And at this stage, anything can happen. I mean, this is the cream of the crop now. So even though this team out of District 1 wins 15-0, once you're in this round, who knows? It depends on pitching, depends on yeah. whose bats are hot.
Baseball is maybe the weirdest sport in high school postseason because it's a one-game single elimination thing, and it all involves pitching.
Yeah.
Like, it's like if the pitcher has a bad day, then you're kind of...
Anything can happen, right? So onto the New York side of things. Down here in the Valley, David, we got New York State track wrapping up, essentially.
Yeah.
This will be the last we'll get some results out next week, but this will be kind of the last week of it, right?
Yeah, so Friday and Saturday I'll be up at Cicero North Syracuse, which is where Tioga Central and Waverly had their state semifinal football games this past fall.
Did you ever think this year you'd spend so much time in Cicero North Syracuse in your career?
Definitely not in July before I ever got up here. But yeah, Waverly and Tioga will have some representatives. Waverly has, well, let's start with Tioga first. Gavin Albrecht is the only Tioga representative. He'll be in pole vault. He is the seventh seed. The first seed for pole vault, it has like a 17-foot, 1-inch jump or leap, whatever you want to call it in pole vault. Gavin's best so far, his career best is 13.9.
Okay.
So it's probably, you know, maybe not first place, but I was talking to him yesterday for a previous story. He was thinking like, I want to beat the school record. I want to beat the school record, which is like 14.6, I believe it is. At any rate, he's sitting at 13.9, and the coach, Eric Gutierrez, is like, we'll get him past 14. We want to get him past 14 at this one.
Multiple goals. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then for Waverly, you have four representatives, two of which are in individual events. You got Ralph Johnson and Micah Chandler. They're both in the 100 and 200. Ralph Johnson is the number one seed in the 200 Division 2 dash, and Micah Chandler's the 15th seed. And so last week I was at the state qualifier at Union Endicott, and Micah Chandler in the 100 preliminary on the first day came up with a bit of a hamstring injury. But because it's one of those things where you just have to run your events, even if you have already had the qualifying time, you have to run your events. He literally jogged the 200 later in the day for he was in dead last of the 24 players of 24 runners. He had 39-second run, 23rd place was 24 seconds. But it was just funny watching him just jog behind everybody who's going full
It'll
sprint.
Be funny someday if he ever goes back through his times and he's got all these great times in that last place in the state qualifier.
But that was sort of a strategy because later on he was part of the 4x100 for Waverly, which had already qualified for states, but he was the first leg of the four-leg race that won the preliminary race for Waverly. So he was able to go full sprint there, and apparently he's going to be okay enough to run this week in the 100, 200, and 4x1. But you got Ralph Johnson, who I said is the top seed at the 200. He's also the number two seed in the 100. He's only a .03 behind Hampton Bay's Charlie Garcia for the seeding there. So that's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out.
Hampton Bay. I don't know where that is.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But you got Johnson and Chandler, and then Xavier Watson and Colson Keithley are part of the 4x100, and they are the number one seed in Division 2. So Waverly is looking to medal in a lot of these spots here.
Good opportunities for sure. So, David, tell us again, that's this weekend, Friday and Saturday?
Yes. Okay. So I think the pole vaulting final is on Friday. The preliminaries for the 100 and 200 are on Friday. I think the 4x1 has a preliminary and then a final, so I think that's also probably Friday and then Saturday.
Yeah.
I do want to shout out Vita Rossi of Tioga. She just missed out in a long jump to make it to the States. You had, at the qualifying meet, you either had to make the qualifying mark, which I'm not sure what that number was for girls' long jump, or you had to be the top performer of your division, and she was second place in Division 2, off by 7 inches. But she's an eighth grader, 7 inches off of possibly qualifying for
she'll
a state
back.
Year. She'll
be back. Long
sure.
career ahead, absolutely. Yeah. So keep an eye out for David's coverage in the Morning Times for the New York State track and field state results. Other than that, boys, anything else you want to touch on high school-wise before we move on? I know it's kind of a small slate this week as we wrap things up, but anything else?
Is it Hampton Bays or Hampton Bay?
Bay, probably. I don't know.
I found Hampton Bays. It says Hampton Bays is a hamlet and census designated place in the town of Southampton in Suffolk County on Long Island in New York. It is considered as part of the region of Long Island known as the Hamptons.
Okay.
Let's go with it.
I couldn't find Hampton
Bay. Well, it's Long Island.
I typed in Hampton Bay and a Home Depot link.
I think I did say Hampton Bays.
Okay, it is Hampton
Bays. Well, it's Long Island versus Waverly.
If you're wondering what a hamlet is, it is a human settlement that is smaller than a town or village, in case you were wondering.
Absolutely. So, people out there were definitely wondering.
Now they know.
All right, anything else? And then we'll jump into the Philly Minute.
I think I'm good. Because we wrapped up.
Yeah, we're down
PI
to the nitty gritty.
PIAA track.
Biggest thing is make sure you get a copy of the Daily Reviewer or the Morning Times this weekend for the results and the turnout for what we just talked about. And then we'll again, of course, be back next week to recap everything and recap the spring season as a whole. But let's move on. Let's do the Philly Minute. And then we'll get into how's your team doing. We'll stay in the baseball sphere of things. David, are you ready?
Yes.
Begin.
So last week I made a joke that it's all bad now because the Phillies lost two series in a row. But then I said I'm not actually panicking because they earned a lot of grace. Turns out that aged pretty well over the last week. They went on and won the first two games of the St. Louis Cardinals series. The Cardinals are actually playing good baseball for once. So they just went right back home from the West Coast and won a series. And then now they've won the first two games of the Milwaukee series, who's in first place in the NL Central. So they're just rolling. It's fun. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. The other thing I want to say during this Philly Minute is Rhys Hoskins. He had a very nice standing ovation from the Philly fans in his return on Monday. Got me a little bit emotional. that dude meant a lot to the city of Philadelphia. And he, like, during a bad time in Philly's baseball, he represented a lot of hope. And it really stinks that he's not a Philly. He's the one kind of player that, like, he deserved to be a lifetime Philly. And it just didn't play out the way because he had tear his ACL and things just spiraled into a point where it made a lot more sense just to part ways with him. And it stinks because he's such a good dude. And go figure, he hits a home run in his return in Philly, but Philly's won the game anyway. I don't know. That's all I got. Not much.
I could see him back in Philadelphia by the end. It's still weird kind of even seeing him in a Brewers uniform.
It is.
He does it because he's. When you think Rhys Hoskins, you do think the Phillies, and you see him in that Philly uniform. But I can see him coming back for a final 2 year stretch or something.
He would probably end up having to be a DH full time if he comes back because Harper has taken over first base, and that's why it made sense to part ways with Hoskins because Harper is a better first baseman than Hoskins was,
right?
So which is just funny because he's had all the 1 year of experience at first base.
That's how good he is, though.
But it'd be nice to see him come back one day.
He might
be
back.
A DH or something like that.
Staying with baseball, the Phillies and the Yankees are kind of trading back and forth the best record.
Both are 43-19.
As of 43-19.
And the Orioles, the other team at this roundtable, only two games back. So we're doing pretty well for ourselves here in the 2024 baseball season. All pretty early still. It's only June. A lot can happen. But I don't see any crazy downward spirals that are going to result in anything drastic or terrifying. It's whether or not all of us can keep the pace.
I don't know. As a Phillies fan, I'm always cautious.
Yeah, you said it last week. It was a joke, but a little cautious. The Orioles, I saw kind of a cool stat. I hope I have it right, but I saw something. They put out a lineup where 8 of the 9 starters were homegrown Baltimore Orioles. That's incredible in today's baseball.
I think it was on Twitter. I think it was yesterday, Tuesday. Now their top 2 picks from each of the last 3 drafts or the last 3 drafts where guys would come up are now up. So the Rutschman draft.
Yeah.
I think it was him and Henderson in that draft. And then it was like Jordan Westberg the next year. So they called up Connor Norby the other day. I believe that's who it was. And he homered in his first hit was a homer.
There you go. There's
his
a good
first
start.
Career hit was a home run. So they've kind of just been whooping up on the Blue Jays who are at the bottom of the AL.
They've been a disappointment for sure. A lot of talent on that team and it just hasn't turned into anything. All right, let's go. Let's keep this thing moving a little rapid fire. We'll go to the NBA now. We have the finals starting yesterday on Thursday. It will be game one. It's Celtics and the Mavericks. I guess let's just do a little prediction. The first question I'll ask, though, are we all kind of in the same boat that Luka and Tatum would be the best two players in the series? Would everyone agree?
Yeah, I think so.
Because my question is, who's the third?
Oh, They are their team's best two players, whether or not they will be the best player. Luka undoubtedly will be the Mavericks' best player, I think. Tatum should be their best player.
Should be, right?
But will he? That's the question, right? So,
and then your third spot is between Kyrie, Jaylen Brown.
I would go Kyrie.
Would you? Okay, third. I think it's a good question.
I would say Kyrie is probably the third best player, but I also think, and this goes into the prediction part of it, I just think Celtics have a more complete team. Anyway,
because I was going to say sneaky, maybe third best player who hasn't played since April 29th, Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah.
It is going to be very hard as a Knicks fan to watch him play in that series. But also, Porzingis is a former Maverick.
Yeah.
I mean, a very weird storyline for that guy coming in and the fact that he hasn't played in about a series and a half. Let's get right into it then. Winner and in how many games? Logan, you start.
I will go Mavericks in 6 games.
Mavericks in 6, David. Give me your MVP.
Luka Doncic.
Okay.
Well, I hope I'm wrong and Logan's right, because I just do not want to see Boston win, but I think it's Celtics and six, and maybe it's Tatum's time.
Okay.
I hate saying that.
If I'm being realistic and actually saying what I believe, I have to go with the Celtics, as much as that pains me as a New Yorker who's very anti-Boston in sports. But
as well as all of our baseball teams are doing, we all do not want Boston Celtics to win the NBA.
I think the Mavs might have overperformed here a little bit, and the Magic might run out a little bit. I said a little bit too many times there. But I'll go with Celtics, and I'll go seven, though. I'll say this is a knockdown, drag out, really good NBA championship series. And I'll go Jaylen Brown as the MVP. Like you said, it should be Tatum's team. It should be Tatum's time. But every once in a while in these championships, you need the X factor, the other guy, to step up and really come through. And maybe that's Jaylen Brown in this series.
Remember when Andre Iguodala won a finals MVP?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sometimes it's the other guy that gets it done. But all right. And we got another finals. Anything else before we jump to the NHL?
I'm trying to find the list. Since 2017, every NBA finals team has featured at least one former Washington Wizard.
Oh, man, really?
Both of these teams have a former Wizard in Kristaps and Daniel Gafford.
Gafford.
Crazy to me that Porzingis has really been on that many teams already. Yeah. Wow.
Because where did he go? He started with the Knicks. He was drafted there. Then he went to the Mavericks.
Wizards, Celtics.
And now he's with the Celtics.
And he's in a final. Interesting road.
I can't find the list, but yeah, we can move on.
That's crazy, though. The Wizards, who are just an absolute terrible team in the NBA every season, now produce these guys that end up on championship teams. But the other championship series going on will start tomorrow on Saturday. It's the Oilers in the NHL taking on the Florida Panthers, this is a series with a lot of stars. There's some star power in this, which could make things really fun and interesting if you're a casual hockey fan. On Florida side, you got Barkov, you got Matthew Tkachuk, Bob and goal. On the Oilers side, you have the best player maybe since Gretzky and Connor McDavid. Leon Draisaitl, a lot of good guys, David. Where do you see this one kind of leaning?
I don't know.
that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
This is my favorite kind of championship series, because I really don't mind either team. It's like, it's cool because Florida, the storylines are awesome because Florida's trying to win the Stanley Cup this year as opposed to losing it last year. And this also could be Edmonton's time with Connor McDavid.
First Canadian team in a while, too.
So there's so many storylines with this, and I'm really excited for it. I don't really know where I'm going to go with it. McDavid is just so overdue.
That's where I'm at. I like to see great players do great things. It makes the sport better. It grows the sport. Connor McDavid, all the hype. He shows it night in and night out. He justifies it, but he needs a Stanley Cup, and this is it. So
is McDavid and Draisaitl the best duo?
I think so.
Yeah,
definitely. That power play is ridiculous, too.
Yeah.
Logan, you are what I would... I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here. You're a casual hockey guy.
Absolutely.
Any interest in this series? Or is it still kind of, all right, it's
so
the NHL?
I like the storyline, like Canada hasn't won a cup in so long, so that's interesting. And Connor McDavid, that's a name I know, that's a name I recognize. Draisaitl, I've heard throughout this postseason run, so I don't really have any rooting interest in Florida. I don't have any really rooting interest at all. It would be cool to see Edmonton win a cup just because Canada hockey is their sport.
It's like the national sport.
And they haven't won something they haven't won a cup in a very long time. So
go ahead.
To be a true casual, Edmonton's got some really cool jerseys.
There you go. That's the spin I wanted from you.
Yeah, so that'll be a cool if they have some success. And I'll definitely be tuning in a little bit. Hopefully that extends longer than the NBA finals do. If it starts later, I don't know when has it started already?
Saturday.
I think it's at like 8.
Just because that'll give me something else to watch once basketball's over. So,
We talked about being down to bare bones in our high school coverage. We're getting close to the dog days of summer here in the national sports scene, too. So soak it all in with some of these championship series.
Do we have any all shucks moments?
Do I have an all shucks moment this week?
I was thinking about it. The only all shucks might have to be like a bi-weekly segment. Because like the only all shucks moment I have is Monday night. I was at the paper putting the pages together, and I went to open the last page of the night. I had to do it. I was like, almost done. We're rolling. So couldn't open it because someone else had it open. Oh, shucks. Like, then I had to run around like a madman and try to find the computer that that was opened on. And to peel back the curtain a little bit, I work a lot of second shift hours, which is more of the 4 to 12 range, 4:30 to 12:30. And the people that put the pages together before I get to put content on them, they work in the morning. They work 9 to 5, 7 to 4.
So yeah.
What make those be 8 hours. But so I get it, and it's a name I don't recognize. And I don't know everybody like super well. We're not like, we don't hang out on the weekends.
Different departments, different shifts.
But I know everybody's names, and this was a name I did not recognize. So me and the other guy, his name's Seth, we had to run around helter skelter trying to find the computer that it was on.
Who left the page open?
Yeah, so eventually we were able to find it and get it finished, but we were literally staring down the barrel of having to be like to the plate room guys that put the paper into production, run it blank. And that was the back page of the paper. So the worst part of that was me and Seth knew if we said that, go do that, we would both have phone calls coming in at 9 o'clock the next morning.
It's a good peel behind the curtain on top of an all shucks moment.
So that was my only all shucks moment that came to mind. This weekend was pretty light for me. All shucks is the travel, I guess, I have coming up for this Wyloosin game, but it's deserved. They've earned the right to keep playing, so
yeah,
I'll gladly make the trip.
Make the trip and support them. Mine's kind of similar. It was this morning, David. We got our email provider is having a major outage across all their clients. We're one of them, and so we're without email. So again, an aw shucks peel behind the curtain. Sometimes things don't go as simple as you think around here, and it's not always our fault. So we're just kind of waiting right now for our email provider to get their stuff fixed on their situation before we can kind of continue along with a lot of the stuff we need to get done for the day. But that is a big aw shucks when something like that happens and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. Mine is...
What, did you drop some more protein at Walmart?
No.
See another old lady in the back of the car?
This does involve an old lady. Which is funny.
Jeez, what's going on with you and the elderly, David?
No, so this lasted all of like 15 seconds. It was really quick. But on Saturday, I was watching, I was watching the college baseball tournament and the Indiana Fever, Chicago Sky WNBA game. I was watching all this stuff. And I knew at night I was going to want to watch a specific college baseball game that involved a kid I covered in North Carolina. The Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Final, the NHL was on. The Phillies were on. The Hershey Bears in the Eastern Conference Final, the AHL was going to be on my TV. I wanted to watch that. So I'm like, I haven't been outside all day. It seems really nice. I need to go outside for a walk. So it was like 5 o'clock. I was like, all right, I got to go out now if I'm going to go out at all today. I turned the corner from my place, walk up the street, and I see this old lady maybe 100 feet or so ahead of me struggling to hold on to the leash of her dog. And there's another guy walking right next to me on the sidewalk, and the dog... the woman loses control of the dog, and the dog starts running towards my direction. And at first, it goes like right in line with the other guy. I'm like, okay, I think I'm okay here. It's going straight to that guy. And then at the very last minute, veers right to me and like hops on me. And that's the all shucks. Like, am I about to get attacked by a dog? And it
just friendly.
Yeah. It righted itself pretty quickly. There was that moment of like, but
yeah, that could have went a totally opposite way.
Yeah. And as I was walking by, I just hear, Finnegan, you're terrible.
That's an all-time dog name.
Yes. No,
Finnegan. Finn, for short.
Finnegan was a great name. It was. I'm not good with dog breeds, but I think it was a black lab or something.
Right. Finnegan. Finn for short. Definitely great dog name.
But it's just, I just hear it in the background, Finnegan, you're terrible. And I just got a kick out
then
of it.
Then she said, oh, shucks.
To cover our bases, an elderly lady.
Yeah.
Maybe old lady might be a little... This is kind of a tangent before we get out of here. One day I want to bring in a list of words and just have you read them, because I don't know if you notice it, but you have an accent and it perplexes. I'm sure I do it too, but like, I don't know if it's Pennsylvania. I don't know if it's from when you lived in North Carolina, but like the way you just said dog, like brought me back.
Dog.
Like you dog. Don't hear it, but it's dog. Like a, can you hear it, Kirk?
Yeah.
Like,
dog.
It's like the one that struck me the first time was you were talking about the Dolphins and you said the Dolphins.
Yeah. No,
like
that's
Central Dolphin.
Yeah. So yeah. I just want to bring in a list of words and see where we go one day. That'll be a dog day.
Everybody has
project.
To read five words and see whose accent is the thickest.
Well, the one that I'm fully aware of that I don't necessarily pronounce correctly is the sport Goff, but my last name is Goff and I just don't pronounce the L
in
the sport.
It's that sound. There's it's something that there. Sound right yeah. there in the word. So, like, I'm not.
Oh, we all got him. No, we all got him.
Just how I talk. I don't know.
We're doing it. Next week, we all have to pronounce five words and then vote who has the thickest accent. So, Stu,
I've never been told that I had the accent in a row. Right. So, this is different, but I mean, I get it.
Because that's the thing is probably your entire family pronounces it the same way. Like, it's probably you're from Harrisburg, right? Yeah. So it's probably just being from Harrisburg accent. So,
well, if you enjoy the ridiculous banter we put forth on this podcast every week, tune in next week. We're not going anywhere. I know we're getting down to crunch time here with spring sports, but we'll have some fun stuff throughout the summer. We'll figure out what we're going to do schedule wise before we go back to a full slate and everything for the fall. We'll discuss that more as we go week to week. In the meantime, get out, support the community, support Wyalusing Baseball, support New York State Track and Field, and we will see everyone next week.